This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Welcome to this episode of Fairways and Greens. I'm your host, Gaylord Rhodes, the Vegas golf coach. And after 30 years as a golf professional, teacher, and coach, I decided it was time to share the knowledge and insights into the world of golf that I have gathered during my career as a golf professional. And joining me each episode will be a special guest from the golf industry. Together, we will discuss and share their insights, expertise, knowledge, and stories from their career and life in golf as well. Hope you enjoy this episode, and as always, I welcome and appreciate your input and suggestions for future shows, as well as your questions. So feel free to reach out and get in touch with me, the Vegas Golf Coach, by emailing me at info@golfcoachpodcast.com. That's info@golfcoachpodcast.com. Reach out and let us know what's on your mind and what you're thinking about. So let's get started with today's show. I want to welcome everyone into this episode of Fairways and Greens. This is your Vegas golf coach, Gaylord Rhodes, here in Las Vegas. And today I want to share and continue on the endless journey of golf with you. And that's my series of podcasts where I just basically kind of share the information I've gleaned over my 30 years as a golf coach, instructor, teacher, and director of golf, and you name it. In over 30 years, I've done pretty much everything you can imagine in this industry, from opening golf courses to flipping them. It's a fascinating industry, but my focus over the years has really been as a golf coach and instructor. And today, I'm going to share some observations that I have discovered over this last 30 years of golf about the golf swing and the game of golf. And so today's episode is going to basically be based around a question that I ask a lot of my students, and I see this as a regular pattern in golf today. And that question would be, are you playing golf or golf swing? So I want you to think about your last round of golf for a moment. Were you standing over the majority of your shots focusing on a checklist of positions and swing thoughts, or were you relaxed and focusing on the target and the conditions at hand? And if you're guilty of the first situation, you're probably trapped in a very frustrating game of hit the ball and are missing out on many of the enjoyable aspects of the game of golf. And, you know, kids, in essence, can really teach themselves, particularly if they're at a very, very, very young age, because the young, I've worked with very young students and young kids, and they still have the ability to mimic. And so they can literally watch and watch good golfers and literally mimic. And then there's endless stories about how Phil watched his dad and Tiger watched his dad and how they developed their golf swings by mimicking what they saw. And at a young age, that's very, very, very possible. But for an adult, unfortunately, it's becoming much, much harder. Golf Magazine reports that 70% of all the golfers are dissatisfied with their scores. So if they're not happy with their scores and only 2 out of 17 are taking golf lessons, what are they doing? Well, my guess is they're surfing the net, they're watching YouTube videos, reading magazines, buying training aids, reading books. I was talking to Sam Adams the other day, and he mentioned that Google reports that there are 1.2 million searches a month on keywords directly related to golf improvement and golf instruction. And unfortunately, I don't think this do-it-yourself approach is going to work for very many people. And the only thing you're going to find with that approach is a lot of conflict and confusion in your golf swing. And unfortunately, that leads to what my main topic is today. Are you playing golf or golf swing? And, you know, so in its true essence, golf's a target game. It should be a fun and enjoyable experience. It's a game of golf, and it should be played at a creative level, not a mechanical level. Unfortunately, with all this massive information out there, I mean, I quoted how many people are surfing the net on a regular basis looking for golf instruction. And so all these people are out there trying to fix their own golf swing. And I was talking again to Sam Adams, an incredible gentleman. I encourage you guys to, if you get a chance, to go and check out his blog. he defines people as the learn about golfer or the actually plays better golfer, and I define him as the mechanical guy versus the creative guy. And so to define it, I guess, you know, with all this information out there, there's so many people, there's very few people of all the millions of people taking up the game. Only 2 out of 17, according to the statistics, are actually taking golf lessons. So all the rest of these people are hungering for more and more information. They soak up all this information on the internet. They read everything they can. And the problem is they're playing the physical mechanics and positions of the golf swing that they're absorbing and watching and in many cases being taught by instructors. And throw in all the new wonderful technology and the swing analysis software that's available, and you know, in my mind, it just seems like every month there's a new theory or secret on how to create the perfect golf swing. So if you're one of the learn about golfers that's absorbing and trying to figure this golf swing out on your own, you're going to be bombarded with a lot of confusing information. And in essence, my belief is if you're trying to dissect the whole golf swing into parts, or to see how each one functions and can be beneficial in figuring out where your golf swing's breaking down, for instance, which I see a lot of that. You know, you can't really have a golf swing motion unless it's a motion. I mean, to break down the whole swing into parts and positions, which basically there are no positions in a motion. There's only alignments and a fundamental setup. And once you get that down, it's basically just a motion and balance. And when you start to break it down and analyze it and look at different theories, and there's thousands of them out there. I mean, honestly, just go and Google how to fix a slice, and you'll find hundreds of different articles from a variety of different teachers, coaches, and just basic people in general. But to get back to my main point, if you're one of these students who is obsessed with the perfect golf swing and is and obsessed with trying to fix your own golf swing with all the information that's available out there, and there's a lot of good stuff out there, I don't believe there's anything really new, but it's just a new way to spin it. And consequently, if your concept of the swing motion is muddled up with all these mechanical thoughts, positions, and you end up taking that to the golf course, you will probably be focused on some form of conscious swing effort instead of reacting to the shot and the target and the environment. And, you know, I was, years ago, I got a chance to sit around with Chuck Hogan and we talked golf. And he said, you know, the most frustrating thing is that individuals are, they're not playing golf, they're playing golf swing. And golf is a creative and should be a reactive sport. And one of the things he mentioned to me, and I don't know if this is a direct quote, but I remember writing these things down and I've used them a lot. And Chuck mentioned that in golf instruction, the problem with golf instruction is you need to learn to put the parts back together. You need to be taught golf instead of golf swing. And unfortunately, most of the instructional articles and information out there is all about the golf swing. And there's some very dramatic differences between the golf swing and golf. And I'll make it very simple by breaking it down. Like, golf swing is focused on self, and golf is focused on ball to target. The golf swing is and is being taught as an act. It's and golf is and ought to be taught as a reaction. And so the golf swing is part of the learning process. You do want to develop a better golf swing motion. But when it becomes the focus, then it becomes focused on self. And when you take that concept to the golf course and you're out there focusing on your golf swing, you're not playing golf. Your golf swing is a mechanical, confused mess, and you're not paying attention to the shot at hand, focusing on it. And so if golf swing is focused on self and golf is focused on ball to target, then honestly, you know, when you're thinking golf swing, you're creating a veil between yourself and the target. I mean, you're not focusing on the object of that next shot. You're focusing on and worried about, am I going to hit this solid? You know, where's my hand in the backswing? You know, where's what swing plane, or you know, what, you know, what am I focused on? And, you know, self-awareness, the golf course is a target environment. And so you need to become aware and allow yourself to get involved in the target environment and not the golf swing environment. And so, again, are you playing golf? Are you playing golf swing? And I think the majority of people who are out there trying to figure out how to fix their golf swing on themselves are going to fail for a variety of reasons. And, you know, the solutions for overcoming this problem are based on simplifying your understanding of the full swing concepts into concepts based on a complete balanced motion and reacting to your ball flight. Leave the mechanics on the lesson tee and create an evaluation system of your swing motion with your instructor that allows you to understand why your ball goes left, right, and straight. And then you can make immediate adjustments to the target and to what you're seeing in your shot pattern from day to day, which will vary for all of us. And it allows you to make quick adjustments based on what the ball's doing and frees you up to begin to become more target aware and less mechanical. When you actually begin to play golf and not golf swing, you'll finally be able to free up to play better golf and improve your scores and, most importantly, have more fun. So one of the first things I ask every new student that walks in the door is, why are you here? Why did you decide to come and take a lesson from me? And the most common answer is they want to hit the ball better. And so I say, well, okay, I can help you with that. But in truth, why do you want to hit the ball better? And then we start getting to the point of, well, I'm not enjoying the game, or I'm not playing very well. And so I said, so let's get back to the bottom line here. If you truly want to play better and enjoy the game more, then maybe we should get you to a point where you can do that and not be so worried about hitting every shot perfectly, or why do I slice my driver. You know, those things I can coach you with and help you understand so that you can go out and adapt and play the game. So do you want to have a better golf swing, more consistent golf swing, or do you want to play and have better scores? And that's always, 90% of the time, it's always about the golf swing. And, you know, unfortunately, by the time I get them, many of them have had this do-it-yourself approach, and it simply isn't working for them. And the only thing that they're figuring out is they're finding, for the most part, is just it's very confusing, and they're constantly trying different things, and there's no consistency to what they're doing. So all of a sudden, one thing causes one thing, and then the next swing thought causes another one. Instead of evaluating your motion as a whole and trying to figure out why you tend to hit it left and right and straight, and then working on that would be a better approach, so it frees you up to go out and play the game. And I think the problem with those of us and those of you who play golf swing and not golf is that it's very difficult for very few golfers can really understand the golf swing well enough to accurately assess their own faults. So they don't know exactly what to work on. They know they're slicing, so they go and they get some information on what causes a slice or how to fix a slice. And not only do they not know what to work on, more importantly, they don't know what not to work on, so they grab onto everything they can in an attempt to fix their problem. So they try everything, and it's like a merry-go-round of experimentation. And try this, try that. And really motivated players can accumulate tons of knowledge. I mean, I know guys that are obsessed with the golf swing, and they come to me, and you know, and they're stuck at a certain level in the game, their scores, you know, there's usually a 10 or 15 shot variation in their pattern. I mean, if they're putting well and their short game's good, they'll have a good round, but the pattern to their full swing is crazy. And then when they do hit a few wild shots, and you know, one day they can shoot 80 and next day they shoot 95 or 85 to 100, or you know, that range exists with all golfers, and more so with golfers that are just caught up in the mechanics of the golf swing. And I know, because when I've been caught up in the mechanics of the golf swing, my play has not been very good, because I've been sitting over the ball not thinking about what I want to do with that shot, but thinking about what I want to do with that golf swing. And I know many of you have been in that situation and can relate to it. and confusion reigns. And, you know, when you're out there and you're absorbing all this information and you're watching this instructor and reading this article and watching this thing on YouTube, confusion is going to exist. And it's one thing you can count on is nobody has the secret. Everyone is an individual and everyone is different. And so my job as a coach has always been to evaluate your motion, your best balanced motion, the one you bring with, and see if we can improve that and get you to understand why the ball is going where it's going and how, what one or two things cause that, so that you can have a very simple approach and just stand up, focus on the target, focus on the shot at hand, see it, create it, and react to it, and not be so conscious about what's going on in your golf swing, particularly when I find most of my students are thinking about something in the backswing, and unfortunately, you don't hit the golf ball with the backswing. So I just feel that the best approach to learning golf is to find a coach, find someone who you can relate to that can get you, simplify your motion into a complete motion, work on balance, work on the things that are causing inconsistencies in your direction, and then just go out and play the game. So I would encourage you to get on the golf course with an instructor if you haven't already and have them evaluate what you're doing. I mean, most of the higher handicappers that I know, some of them don't even take practice swings, and they just, it's their turn, they walk up, they put the ball on the ground, they stand up, they have no concept of consistent aiming pattern. The ball positions are all over the place on every time they set up, the ball is in a different location, and their shoulder alignments, and it's just crazy what you see golfers do. I mean, and then they're standing over the ball going over this checklist of mechanics, and it's frustrating to me to know and see that. And it's very difficult to clear their brain, and a lot of it is because they've analyzed and looked at this, and it's difficult. I mean, and the other thing is if you're being self-taught, I mean, there's no accountability to anyone. It's just you. You're not accountable. You're not necessarily motivated to practice. There's no, your pro's not asking you, so how's it going? And he's not, you know, I'm always available when my students are practicing to wander up and go, so how's it going? To check on them, make sure they're kind of on track, make sure they're not getting way too overcomplicated. But, you know, unfortunately, the golf industry, I believe, over many, many years and decades has exasperated the problem by making everything more complicated than it needs to be, by constantly inventing new words, you know, stack and tilt, one plane, two plane, all these different theories, all based on basically the same stuff. I mean, it's frustrating because, as they constantly invent new words and terms for the same old thing and claiming to have discovered the new ball flight law, it's difficult for me. Most golfers have trouble understanding the simple things like balance, posture, and alignment, much less, you know, some of the terminologies out there today, like, you know, smash factor, dual horizontal hinge, angled hinges. There's a lot of way overkill terminology out there. And, you know, I'm a golf machine instructor, and as an instructor, I enjoyed it and absorbed it and learned a ton about the golf swing. But to necessarily explain it in terms that make it more complicated for a student, it just depends on their mentality. I mean, for an engineer, he can understand certain things. But for the average student, it's way too complicated. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is, keeping them confused sells lots of golf magazines. And the business thrives on complexity. And so my guess is the industry figures if they can keep the average golfer completely mystified, it guarantees them job security. And so it sells more clubs, sells more magazines. Always there's the greatest, latest new golf club. You're going to hit it farther. The golf magazines have new instructional articles. This pro telling you how he hits flushes his irons, this pro. I mean, you could, there was, you know, you can go to any golf magazine, line four of them up, and I guarantee, and there's a new, there's a professional player in each one of those magazines talk about how he does it this way. And so you read that, then the next magazine, how to flush your irons by this person, or how to flush your irons by this person, or how to hit bomb your drives by this person, or how to hit chips by this person. And so, you know, it's complicated. It's, and so there's just so much information out there that trying to figure this game out on yourself is going to be very difficult. And the more information you absorb, the more confused you get, you know. And, you know, there's too many golf pros out there that have very little credibility when it comes to instruction. And, you know, and they're quickly becoming irrelevant to a lot of golfers out there. And that's become a problem for the PGA. And, you know, technology's not the answer, or at least not the only answer. And, you know, I don't think we've really discovered anything new about how to teach golf over the last 50 years. I think, you know, great instructors are great communicators. They're able to identify the faults in their students' swings without getting over technical, allowing them to work through more of a connected motion and concept that so that they have a model. I mean, I think if you can create a model for the student, then it's going to free him up to work on more of a complete motion than a bunch of parts and pieces, or analyzing, you know, what he's doing with the elbows or the wrists and the backswing, whether he's a late setter, early setter. I mean, technology's provided us with massive amounts of data and the ability to microanalyze the golf swing, and it's out there online for people to look at. And you know, the usefulness of it is kind of debatable. In a person that's trying to learn to play golf or trying to break 100, you know, there's way too much information. I mean, you know, and it's unfortunate. I think the end result today, in many ways, and the reason it's hard for individuals to go out and try to create a better golf swing by themselves, is that we're just the industry's bombarding our students with contradictory information. And yet each one is the best way to do it. And so I just think it's getting rare that you're going to find an average golfer to even consider taking a lesson, because there's too much information out there that he can try to do it on his own. And then, you know, and he sees all these different theories. So I just would encourage people to give golf, the game of golf, a chance, and stop getting so wound up in golf instruction. And, you know, I just think it's sad that the industry's kind of gone in that direction. So are you playing golf, or are you playing golf swing? And, you know, I think that's a question you should ask yourself. And I think if you really sat down and analyzed it, you know, if you really want to get better at the game of golf, then you need to work on the game. And that requires a totally different approach. And, you know, on the golf course, no two shots are exactly the same, and you must be able to react to conditions of the target. And the perfect golf swing on the golf course is the one most adaptable to the situation at hand, or to the shot at hand. You know, a perfectly repeated golf swing that you can do on the range is not going to function very well on the golf course, basically because you're in perfect conditions. You may even actually have perfect alignments, and you know you're hitting one shot over another, and you're really not reacting to a target. You're just trying to create a golf swing. And so I just think that it's a situation where most golfers are so tied up in mechanics today that their games struggle and suffer. So, you know, I think the golf instruction as a whole has become an institution of self-awareness rather than target awareness. And, you know, golf lessons, as I mentioned, in golf publications and commenters, and even your golf partners are constantly telling you what's wrong with some piece of your swing. And so it's hard to even go play golf because, you know, a lot of your buddies are, you know, they've just read this article and they're working on this thing and they think, well, the reason you're lifting your head up is because you're doing this. And in reality, the head coming up is just an effect of something you're doing in your motion that requires you to come up or you bury the club in the ground. Typically, it's not a cause of anything. It's the effect of what you're doing with your golf swing. So, you know, it's interesting that you go out, you're constantly bombarded with information on the television, in magazines, on the internet, and you know, you have this notion that somehow you're going to be more accurate in relation to a target by thinking about what your arms, head, leg, or club position is in your golf swing. Don't think that's going to happen. I mean, you know, most instructors and most of this information is sincerely out there to help you play well, but it's just that we all become a product of our education at some point, and dissecting the whole to see how each part works is kind of a hallowed part of traditional education. And so we've learned our life how, you know, through our schooling and stuff, that, you know, that's, you know, we can pick up a book, we can read, we can study, and we can learn. Well, in golf, it's a different story. And to dissect the whole golf swing into parts to see how it works, like you would in a normal science or math or class, you know, it just really doesn't work in golf. And for many of the reasons I've already mentioned. And, you know, golf is a game it's a target game. And it's unfortunately, in most other target games, or in baseball or other sports, we're reacting to a moving object instinctively. And in golf, there is no moving object. There's a ball sitting on the ground. And unfortunately, most of us in the beginning kind of make the ball the target, and we create hitting motions that are designed to hit the golf ball irregardless of understanding how the golf club works, what the basic concept of the golf swing is, the geometry of it, the physics of it, any of those things. We're just standing there flat-footed trying to get this ball up in the air, and it creates so many compensations. The more you take up the game on your own and go to the range and pound golf balls, the more you're going to be experimenting on and trying to figure out rather than getting a good solid base of some model to work off of, you're out there experimenting constantly, reading this article, reading that article, and you end up carrying that onto the golf course. And, you know, I'm not saying you can't hit it more consistently with this method of learning, but it's not gonna typically end up making a big difference in your game and your ability to score. So, you know, I mean, even the best players in the world only hit four or five shots perfectly like they envisioned and saw them, but because they're focused on the target and the shot they're trying to hit and the place they want to land it, their misses are so much better than a player who's so bound up in mechanics. And I just wanted to kind of give insight into the difference between playing golf and playing golf swing, and they're two separate animals. And I'm not saying that practicing your golf swing is not a good thing. I'm saying that be careful where you're getting your information and what you're trying to do. Find a good instructor, find a coach that can help you create a plan of action to help you be more consistently, and then put that action into play, and then go out and play the game. And don't take the mechanics or the mechanical thoughts that you have created in your learning process and to head out to the golf course, free yourself up, be creative, and react to the target. So, you know, with that being said, I'd like to kind of finish out by just giving you some concepts of how maybe you can do that. I mean, you know, learning and relearning and getting all this information about, you know, the golf swing can be very confusing. And, you know, if you're not working with an instructor and you're doing this on your own, either way, make sure that you don't do any mechanical functions unless you understand why they work and why you're doing it. And again, if you're self-instructing yourself, that's kind of difficult to
to really understand. I mean, is this really something I need to do? So unless you understand what you're working on in your mechanics and understand why it works and why you're doing it specifically for you, you're going to go down some long, windy roads in this game. And once you do have an idea what you're working on, then, you know, to recreate a new habit, so to speak, and there's a lot of theories on this, that, you know, you need to practice. I tell my students to practice 60 reps per day for 21 days, but making sure that they understand why they're doing it and what it's going to do for their golf swing. And so I give them a model of what I think their golf swing should be like, so they have a clear understanding, and then I give them a clear understanding of why we're doing these drills. And a self-taught golfer doesn't have anybody. If he doesn't have someone who understands exactly what he's working, helping him, he's going to definitely get lost in a boggle of mechanics. And so some things to keep in mind, you know, seek out someone who can understand and helps you with your golf swing, not his concept of the golf swing, but what it is that you need to work on to get better. And that's why it's so important to find an instructor that can help you. It shortens the path to better ball striking and consistency. And then it allows you to get out and really start getting creative and reacting to the target and playing. You know, my job as a coach is always to get my students into the best balanced position I can get them and let them know why they hit it left, right, and straight. So, and then give them drills to help correct the one or two things I think is the best thing for them. So, you know, I think if you have a model of your golf swing, there's certain things you need to understand. And one of them is that only the club hits the ball. You don't hit the ball, okay? The ball is only going to react to what the club's doing. And so if you understand these two simple precepts, the mechanics are pretty simple. The ball goes wherever it goes as a result of the club face direction and impact. More importantly, that's where you're going to see probably the final direction. The club path will have some influence on it, particularly if you have your ability to create a lot of club head speed. You'll see the path kind of initially, possibly, but the face is going to, wherever the face is pointing at impact is where the ball is going to finish. And so if you understand the relationship of path and face, and then centerness of hit and comes with, you know, creates velocity, then you can basically understand, okay, so it started over here and it finished over here. And then you have a clear understanding of what you just did in that golf swing. And potentially, if you visualize the next shot doing the opposite, and then you just let it go and let it flow and hit your finish, you're more apt to hit a better shot than if you're out there and you can't understand exactly what happened. So, you know, I think one of the other concepts I think that's very important is that what your feet, elbows, hips, arms, knees, and other body parts do in the swing are simply the effects of your conceptual understanding of the club design and what you're trying to do in the swing, and they're not the cause, okay? They're just the effect. How all these things flow in your golf swing are the effect of your understanding of what you're trying to do with the golf club. And, you know, your understanding makes the proper swing, and the proper swing, the most perfect proper golf swing, does not create understanding. You've got to put the conceptual concept of what you're trying to do with the golf club and how the golf club works, and allow your body to just create the motion necessary to hit the shot that you're trying to create. And that's when you get into the creative feel side of the game, and you allow your intuition, you allow your creativity and awareness to help you with the golf shot. So, you know, have an understanding of how the golf club works and a basic model of what is needs to happen for you to make good solid impact, then you can just conceptually, if you understand that, then you can go on and just allow it to happen. So you do have to start with an intellectual understanding. You need to learn the and create a model, and it's like the beginning of studying a subject in school. You get the conceptual model, and then you get the intellectual understanding of what you're trying to do, and you understand what it is that you're working on and why you're working on it. So you have the intellectual understanding, and typically your coach should help you with that. And then you graduate and you go on to the conceptual understanding. And this is where, you know, how you get and start to begin to let it flow. And then once you have the understanding of what you're trying to do, and you go on and you get a conceptual understanding of the golf swing, the whole golf swing, and then you can graduate and just go on to the creative part of the game. And I really think that creativity obviously can't be supported without a base of intellectual and understanding what you're trying to do, but you can't be creative without having a concept of the golf swing. Let's just define it this. The golf swing is an intellectual, conceptual concept. It's something that can be learned. And if you understand what it is you're trying to accomplish and you have a clear model, intellectual and conceptual model of the golf swing and how the golf club works and how you create velocity and impact the ball, then you can flip the switch and go out and play golf, and golf is the creative process. So once again, by understanding and reacting to the club design, you'll be able to swing, and your swing will reflect your understanding and whatever that is. So, understanding and reacting to the club and how the club's supposed to work and having a model in your mind, it allows yourself to your swing to reflect that understanding. And once you have that, you'll have balance, rhythm, you'll have a beautiful follow through, and you won't care, because you'll be so involved with the creative level that you can just stand up, get in a nice, balanced, relaxed, addressed position and see the shot you want to hit, feel it, see it, be aware of it, absorb the environment and the turf conditions and your lie, and then just go out and let it flow. And I think that is one of the reasons why, for so many individuals who are self-taught, that they really struggle with the game, because I don't think their conceptual, intellectual understanding of what they're trying to do in the golf swing is very clear. And I think there's so much information. I don't think they understand exactly what these functions are doing to them, or aware of why, when they're looking to fix a slice. Well, do they understand what causes their slice? And is it the path? Is it face? Is it a combination of both? And so they go on this continual search of a fix for their problem, and typically it just compounds itself and it creates other issues and other problems. So make sure, if you're out there, again, the subject of this talk today was, are you playing golf or are you playing golf swing? And if you're playing golf swing, you really aren't playing golf, and you want to allow yourself to get a very clear intellectual and conceptual concept of the golf swing, so it allows you to go out and play creatively. And I want to thank all my listeners for coming in today. And I think one other aspect that I always need to mention is the importance of having equipment that fits, so that when you're learning and when you're hitting shots, your feedback is correct. And feedback is so fundamental to learning, both the intellectual and conceptual part, but also the creative part. If you make a flowing, balanced golf swing and your ball is going off in a direction that is due to the fact that the golf club lie angle is incorrect, or the shaft's incorrect, or the length, some aspect of the golf club is not functioning well with you, then you may have just made an incredible motion, but you did not get rewarded. And so now confusion creeps back in. And in particular, many, many golfers think that until they get good enough, they really don't need good equipment. And listen, 30 years as a master club fitter, working with Henry Griffiths, pioneered club fitting. We're now the official, our club fitting manual that all these great pioneers developed over time is now the official club fitting manual in the PGA teaching programs. And so there is a tremendous value to getting equipment that fits and making sure that your feedback is correct, so that, and honestly, feedback's fundamental. And so if you're out there, even if you're just out there on the range working on your golf swing, which we know is the mechanical part of it, if the ball is not going in the direction that the club was facing, or the face was facing, so you make this perfect swing, you square the face up, and your lie angle's too flat, and the ball drifts off to the right, and consequently you think, well, the face must have been open. In reality, the face was pointing to the right because the lie angle is correct, and if it was too upright, it might be pointing to the left. So make sure, the last piece of the puzzle is, if you're out there and you're striving and you're going to spend the time to work on your golf swing so that you can get to a point where you can flip the switch and go play the game, make sure that you get equipment that fits. So fundamentally, it's so important to have that. And particularly with beginners, and my students come in and I have the gift of having the complete Henry Griffiths fitting system. So I have thousands of options in this cart: head design, shaft length, flex, weight, in all different, I mean, 8 or 9 different flexes. And so, you know, I give my beginning students something that they can swing and balance and get rewarded with. And all of a sudden the learning process begins and the tool can function properly for them. And so make sure that if you're out there and you're one of these self-taught guys, and that you might want to take a pause and consider getting some qualified help. And there's many, many of us out there. And if you're looking for a qualified club fitter, you can go to Henry Griffiths' website and go to find a fitter in your area. And you know, these guys, like myself, we've been trained extensively. We're teachers. We're full-time teachers, and we know how equipment affects motion, and we can change ball flight by changing equipment and making the game easier for you. So once again, I want to thank everybody for coming in and listening to today's show. It's been a blast sharing with you, as always, and look for the next episode. I'm lining up some guests, and you know, I may have something else to say next week, but in from now, I want to thank everyone for joining me at Fairways and Greens. This is your Vegas golf coach signing out. Well, folks, it's time to say goodbye to this episode of Fairways and Greens. Hope you enjoyed the show. And if you would like to subscribe to the show, just head over to golfcoachpodcast.com. That's www.golfcoachpodcast.com. And don't forget to reach out with your questions and your input on the show to info@golfcoachpodcast.com. So reach out with your questions and anything you'd like to add or any suggestion on future shows to info@golfcoachpodcast.com. And you can find me, the Vegas Golf Coach, and a link to my blogs, coaching centers, and programs at www.vegasgolfcoach.com. That's www.vegasgolfcoach.com. So goodbye for now, and here's to finding your share of fairways and greens in your journey through life and golf.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.